Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, like we do every single Thursday. Cigars with The Cave Show, Sports Talk Radio. Thank you for hanging out with me today. Really, truly appreciate it. It is the 3rd of February. On assignment yesterday, I missed 2-2-22. But believe me, there's no way I'm missing 2-22. 22. I got to get my dates lined up with these numbers. A lot of stuff to get into today. I have the one only Mike Caratino, sports personality from the Valley. He'll be joining me shortly. We got to get into this ASU debacle. And of course, if I'm going to have an ASU conversation, I have to have the lead ASU apologist on with me today. Getting into a lot of stuff. Going to touch on the Super Bowl, but not going to get too much into it. It's a week out. Got some NFL players coming on next week, along with a couple people that played in the Super Bowl, so we can get perspectives, stories, and all that type of good stuff. Definitely want to talk about the Phoenix Suns, the best team in the NBA, and I have a bone to pick with Brooklyn. I'll explain what that is coming up and the way they play basketball, and also my ideas of a trade that I think really should take place. So we will get into that as well. Baseball, have a meeting to talk. And not talk, and talk, and not talk. And for such a great game, they're doing it to themselves continuously. They cannot start the season late. Cannot. But something tells me they will. We'll jump into that, too. We're going to open up the phone lines, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. I can tell you the whole show lineup, or I can just get this bad boy started. I opt for the latter. Like I said, this is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, right off of Chandler Heights and Alma School. Get in here. Check them out. Like I said, if you come down here, it's 10% off of your cigar purchase. Just let them know that PLR sent you. Become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge. You get a locker, backs up to the humidor. Just everything you need to make yourself feel like home. They do serve beer and wine. They will be having the big game shown here. So come down for the party. It's a great, great time. Also, tonight is ladies' night. A lot of fun things going on here tonight. A lot of discounts, fun people. There's games on TNT tonight, so you definitely come down and check it out. And you don't have to be a member. Plenty of great places to sit. Enjoy yourself. All the games are on TV, so sit down, relax. And come on down to Maduro's. Now, if you can't make it down at any point, anytime, all you got to do is go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order early enough in the day, and your sticks will ship out the exact same day. All that happens down here at Maduro's, Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And again, when you're in the house, let them know that PLR sent you. In the monologue, setting it up, yes, of course, I'm going to talk about Brian Flores, and I'm going to point out a lot of things. And I'm actually going to take some shots at some people that have said some just truly asinine things. And you don't have to take sides. You can let stories develop, but you can really in your mind and say some dumb stuff, and then you let it seep out your mouth. And if you do that, I'm definitely going to call you out on that. But that's enough. Let's get going. I do have a caller on the line. Let's get this bad boy rolling. This Cave Show, PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I think you and I both may have a bone to pick with the Nets the way they've been playing. I mean, it's just been horrible.
It has been, and
they lost the Kings last night of all teams. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Lou, I was covering the game on Tuesday when the Suns played the Nets, and there's some things that I'm noticing that just make no sense.
Kyrie's
No, it has nothing to do with Kyrie. I'm not blaming Kyrie for them going 0-6. I don't understand what offense they run. I really don't. You have when James Harden is on ball, he pounds the air out of the ball for 14 seconds. And then it's either a step back, an attempted drive, or now let me pass to someone else. There's no movement. There's no flow. It's a bunch of stagnant type offense. It's utterly ridiculous.
I've seen that.
When Kyrie is on ball, there's movement. There's pick set. The same type of offense that they run when KD is there. And I'm starting to get to the point. Can Steve Nash really coach these guys? Because someone has to have the balls to tell James Harden, you got to do more than pound the air out the ball. His skill set is too good. I actually sent a tweet that said, does he shoot mid-rangers? That entire game, he shot one. I don't get the offense they run. I don't get what he's doing. I really don't get what Nash is doing. Now take it. They played against the Suns, the best team in the NBA. But who are they? What's their identity? When your star is out, you have to change a little bit. But their identity changes every time there's a lineup switch or every time there's a substitution. I don't understand what they're doing.
Neither do I. I mean, you know, the past seven games has been just, you know, horrific. The offense has been completely dead. And not even losing. Now, I expected, you know, against the Washington Warriors and the Suns, you know. But the Warriors game, you know, was like a back-and-forth kind of weird. You know, they were down by as many as 18 points. They came back within 4 points they lost. And they were up by as many as like 10 points. It was a very weird game. I expected them to lose, and I expected them to lose against, you know, the Suns. But, you know, against these weaker teams, there's just no excuse for it.
There isn't, but they don't have an identity. And if you look at all the teams in the NBA that are good teams, there's an identity. There's a way to play basketball. And granted, Kevin Durant is out, and you can argue he's the best player in the NBA. I get that. But you have two other bona fide all-NBA players. And their style, their pace, it's so wishy-washy. I just find it hard for them to stay in the flow of a game. And on top of that, you have guys that allegedly can close games. When they played the Suns the other night, you mean to tell me that you can't draw up something, and this is me being more on Steve Nash, that you can't close a game? I find that hard to believe that. You know, with guys like that, you can't close? Something's wrong. Something's really wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Steve Nash is the answer. You know who Steve Nash reminds me of, and this isn't, I'm not knocking, I'm not taking shots. Steve Nash is beloved in the Valley. He reminds me a lot of Vinny Del Negro. Vinny was not a terrible coach, but not a great coach. But he never came up through or did other things. Steve did some consulting work, or even Jeff Hornacek. He reminds me a lot of him, too, when he coached.
Yes.
But Steve has a great roster, and I don't begrudge him for getting the job. My thing is, I don't know if he's done enough with the personality put together to be a head coach of this team. The one thing people can talk about Phil Jackson all they want, you know, his XOs on it. The one thing he was great at getting personalities to mesh and then mesh games to fit those personalities. I don't know if Steve Nash can do that yet. I just don't know if he can do it.
No.
So,
I mean,
will he get better?
I think your point dealt with Jeff Hornacek. I think I can relate to that. Yeah, he wasn't that great of a coach either.
No, but Jeff was not. And I like Jeff. I know Jeff. I think what Jeff's thing was, and I think the Knicks gave him a real crap fit, to be honest with you. But I think the one thing with Jeff, and I saw it in Phoenix when he was here, he expects adults to be adults. And I think he trusts that adults are adults more than sometimes he should have. But Jeff knew his stuff. He really, truly did. I forget who he's with. I just saw him at a game here in Phoenix, and he's really he's a smart basketball guy. I just think New York wasn't the right job, and I think the players in Phoenix let him down because I think he trusted them too much, and he didn't have the support of the previous front office, in my opinion, to the level that they should have given him support. And that goes back to, I remember a player tossing a towel at him. Well, Jeff should have determined how long he was suspended, and upper management should have came downstairs and said, look, no, not allowed. This is detrimental to the team. You will not be playing for X amount of games, period. And I think they should have got with Jeff and did that, and I don't think that's what happened. So I think he was dealt a bad hand, but he knows basketball. And we know Steve Nash knows basketball. That's not a secret. I mean, I'm not making it up. I just don't know if his style fits New York or Brooklyn, rather, I should say.
Probably not.
So KD is a beautiful lipstick. If you're a Brooklyn fan, he's a beautiful lipstick. He makes it all look better because he's so good. Makes it all look better. He holds it all together. So maybe when he comes back, there'll be a change. But he is the lipstick, the rouge, the base, the eyeshadow, the eyeliner.
Yeah.
He's all that. He's all that.
He's a Barbie doll and an NBA coach.
He's all that. So that's my take on your Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. And
so,
it looks like that baseball is going to be delayed.
They should be ashamed of themselves. And I feel like I'm repeating myself. No, I feel like I'm just repeating myself every single day when it comes to Major League Baseball. They have meetings to have meetings. Okay. Let's have a meeting to not say anything to reschedule a meeting. Hey, we're
going
to talk
going
a week
home.
From tomorrow. There's no urgency. And that's the part I don't understand. Does MLB have a calendar in their office? Do they not know spring training is coming?
Yeah.
You can't.
Oops. Yeah, dummy.
You cannot do that. The first games are scheduled for February 26. We are nowhere near making that schedule. I was talking to a good friend of mine that was also covering the Suns on Tuesday, and he does baseball, and he does a lot of stuff for AP, and is that, you know, at least 80 of the Diamondbacks, 81 home games. He's at that many covering them for AP. And I asked him, I said, do you think baseball is going to start on time? And he looked at me and he said, spring training or regular season? I said, regular season. His answer was, there's a shot. I said, what about spring training? No shot. And I was like, really? You don't think they're going to 12th hour this? And he's like, Paul, we're in February. And it's so nonchalant.
How can you think that there's going to be a start of the regular season without spring training starting on time? You can't do it.
Well, you know what? They don't care, though, Lou. That's the whole point. They'll get in two spring training games and start regular season. But they're missing out on these games. Do you realize people have bought their plane tickets to come down to spring training games a long time ago?
Sure.
A long time ago.
I think I lost my bet.
The first game the first day, they have the Dodgers and the Cubs set to play. And I don't know if you've been out here before, but the Cubs sell out every spring training game. They sell them all out. And so you have the Dodgers playing the Cubs. You're going to sell out day one, and you're not going to have a game.
Right.
That's asinine. Lou, if you ask the average fan, and you know what? I bet if you ask the average fan, they couldn't even tell you who won the World Series last year.
Right.
I bet they could. And that's sad.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't see this. I don't see not wasting train on fair time. I don't see the regular season starting on time.
Nope. I don't either. We'll see where this leads. It's like,
yeah,
it's
nice
like Groundhog
Day.
Yeah, it's like Groundhog Day. We've had the same conversation for a month, and we're no closer.
No. It's like, you know, they go in and say, you know, discuss some things, they don't get anything done. So it's like, screw this, I'm going home.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
my Cartman,
that's the way it is.
Sorry. I
no worries.
My Cartman impersonation.
No worries, my friend. No worries.
Yuck. It's like my big joke with that. You know, I turn on the Cartman impersonation with that. Because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yep, sad situation.
Yeah, we're talking sad but true. All right, so hopefully in the near future we will talk in the near future again. I'll just give a call when it's possible.
Sounds good, my friend. I'll talk to you. Be safe today. All right.
You too.
Always good to catch up. Always good to catch up with Lou, good friend of the program.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. So we're gonna get into this Brian Flores situation. There's now also a Hugh Jackson situation. Does the NFL set minority coaches up to fail? And are they recycled the same way other coaches are? Were they lied to in the positions that they were told they had to have before becoming a coach, only to never still get those positions? We'll get into all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on the Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, like we do every Thursday, Friday Eve. Thank you for checking us out today. Again, the easiest way to get us is go to thesportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Hit that listen live button, and there we are. Now, if you can't do that, very easy. Just go to either iHeartRadio or Spotify. Make sure you download them. Follow The Cave Show. It's brought to you by The Sports Cave. That way you can get alerted to when a new show is uploaded. And there we are. Also, know that if you hit that listen live button any other time, every show that we've done is there. Go ahead and pick one that you like, want to listen to again, or maybe one that you missed. So definitely can happen. We're easy to find, very, very easy to find. I was just saying with the last caller, the average fan would not know who won the last World Series. And I just asked a couple people here at Maduro's, just sports fans in general. I know when I was growing up, I could tell you who won the World Series every year. I could. Just as an average fan, you would know, because even if you weren't a baseball fan, you knew. No one named the Atlanta Braves. Not one person. That's a bad look. A very bad look. Baseball's doing it to themselves. They are doing it to themselves. So like I said, we're going to get into this Brian Flores situation. And this is bad. This is bad. So there's a bunch of stuff going on, and a bunch of people have a bunch of opinions. and everyone is entitled to one. And I'm not choosing a side. I'm not. I have an opinion for what I believe, but I'm going to be the let's investigate everything to find out. But we don't have to do a lot of digging to know certain truths, do we? There's 32 teams in the NFL. 32. There's one black coach. One. That's 3% of the coaches in the National Football League are black coaches. 70% of the players, 3% coaches. And that's because there's one. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out there's a problem. It doesn't. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out there's something wrong with the hiring. And I'm going to look at this from a total different angle. Totally different angle. I keep hearing from a lot of people, if we had more black owners, if we had more black GMs, we'd have more black coaches. That statement in itself is one of the most ridiculous statements. And I'm going to tell you why. Because then you put all the pressure on black owners and black coaches. See, I firmly believe black owners and black GMs will actually hire in a more fair type of realm. In saying that, what you're telling me is the only way to get a black coach is to have black owners and black GMs. That means they're then incumbent to hire only black coaches, which absolutely makes no sense. It's like saying when there was slavery or oppression, it's on the oppressed to make the change. Why is that? There's some bozo on radio here that said, when Brian Flores mentioned slavery, everything else, I was done listening. Why? Why? Why would you be opposed to everything he said after that being false? Because you didn't like his first statement. Do you feel that way when a politician that you follow said stupid crap to begin with? Did you disqualify everything else? No. But when it comes to that, what slavery is there when there's a millionaire football player? That's just a dumb reference. Okay. So you don't like the reference, so then everything else is wrong. Hugh Jackson came out and said Cleveland was tanking games. The ownership wanted to tank games to get a better pick. Brian Flores is saying the same thing. They're incented to tank games. Now listen, players don't tank. I say that right now. Players don't tank. Players play hard. But what GMs do and what owners want you to do, you put people on IR. You hold people out. That way you have lesser talent on the field, so you obviously lose games. That's how you tank. You don't tank by going to a player saying, hey, don't play hard. That doesn't happen. They don't have that in them. So you tank from the management down. But what happens is when you have a Hugh Jackson, when you have a Brian Flores, and they're tanking games, by the time building the roster, they're gone, a new coach is in, and their record shows what they did. And it's not a winning record. So then they don't get recycled. All these other coaches keep getting recycled or getting another chance. There's been five positions filled. One of those was by the Bears. They hired a black GM. Was it then on him to go out and hire a black coach? Is that pressure only on him? Or now does it become everybody's problem? If he goes out and he hires a black coach, and that coach failed. Let's say that coach failed. What's the first thing we're going to hear? Well, he hired a black coach, and look what happened. It is not on the oppressed to constantly make the change. It is not. And for some reason, the NFL is going to try to protect the shield. Does there need to be black ownership? Hell yes. But people, listen to me. This is a good old boys network. It is hard for them to allow someone else in that doesn't go to the same country club to do all the same things that make them feel comfortable. If you're a billionaire, own something that gives you billions of dollars, you're not ready to shake up. You're not ready to make changes. And that's where it has to come from. It has to come from up down. So when I look along the landscape, I remember about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, the story was there has to be more black coordinators, offensive and defensive. Has to be. Without more black coordinators, they can't get HC jobs. Okay? Then you start seeing Leftwich. Then you start seeing Bieniemies. Then you start seeing all these other guys. But then there's always something. Matt Nagy got offered a job by the Bears and was a lousy coach. But he got the job because he was supposed to be an offensive guru and a quarterback whisperer. He was neither. But when it's Bieniemy's turn, it's, well, does he call the plays or is it Andy Reid? Does he do this or is it Andy Reid? And then when KC falls short, I don't know if Bieniemy's ready because look at the plays he called. So is it Reid then? So it's Reid when they're successful. It's Bieniemy when they fail. Byron Leftwich coached the OC for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. And he's the head coach of nobody. Yeah, I don't know if he's quite ready yet. Why? You took a special teams coach from Belichick and promoted him to coach the Giants. How did that work out? You took the quarterback whisperer, Matt Nagy. How did that work out? Adam Gase, who was terrible in Miami, ran one of the worst offensive in terms of ratings in the NFL, got another job with the Jets. How did that work out? Todd Bowles, not a second chance yet. See, there's too many coincidences. If it keeps being a coincidence, it's a reality. And we can keep crying all this stuff over and over. But someone has to really take a real look at this and say, what is the real problem? Why is it that owners and GMs have an issue with hiring black head coaches? We know this by the way players are described. We know this by the way players are compared. What do we always hear when we see a white wide receiver? Oh, he's first one in, last one out. Oh, he's really smart. Oh, his route running is so precise. When it's a black wide receiver, oh, he's so athletic. He's so good. Do you know that the greatest players are always first one in, last one out? Which is one of the stupidest statements ever. So they're always the last one out. No one is there with them. So when Tom Brady's throwing passes at practice and saying over, he's throwing them to himself? No. We saw this even in the AFC championship game. Oh, it's too bad. It's so sad the way Buffalo lost. They didn't really get their quarterback a chance. What bad play calling. The head coach is a defensive guy. But what did we hear? What was Leslie Frazier thinking? All year it's been how great the coach was, how good he can get his defense to play. But when they lose, then we blame Leslie Frazier. It's a shame Josh Allen had to lose. Why? The following week, we hear the opposite. Oh, maybe in KC the quarterback isn't as good as we thought. Maybe Mahomes still has more to learn. Maybe Mahomes, well, okay, he did have a bad second half. He didn't play like he normally does. But why do the stories change? Why does the narrative change? I don't know if Florence has a case. I don't. I just know there's a lot of coincidences that come up every year when it's time to hire coaches. Dan Campbell did a great job in Detroit. He got a bunch of guys to play hard every week. And he got credit for that. Cully down in Houston didn't have his starting quarterback. Second stringer got hurt. He's starting who knows who. They managed to win more games than Detroit in a shit show in Houston. But he's let go. Make that make sense. It's getting old. And people can say, well, this is this and this is that. There's an old line from a rap song. Doesn't take all day to recognize sunshine. Doesn't take all day to see there is a problem in the workforce when you have 70% of a staff represented by 3% of the management at coaching. That makes no sense. None. But instead of looking at the problem, we want to attack the person who brought up the suit. And we want to disqualify it. Like I said, as a local yoho in Phoenix said, because he said slavery and oppression, I'm going to disqualify everything he says. Okay, well, you continue putting your head in the sand, and you keep being an idiot. You can keep being an idiot like Mike Tannenbaum over at ESPN, who made the asinine comment, well, we got to start from the ground and get more coordinators. That's the same lying bullshit that was said 6 years ago, and it still hasn't worked. We'll talk more about this as it goes on, but I'm not falling for that crap anymore. I'm not. In terms of the lawsuit, got to hear both sides. But in terms of reality, if you're still looking for reasons why there are no black coaches other than one, and you keep coming up with bullshit reasons, then you're the bullshitter. And it's really just that simple. Well, look, we're going to change this up. Dapper Man, the one, the only Mike Caratino on with me as usual. You know him. He has the coolest introduction anyone comes on his show.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
My man, the best apologizer, the biggest apologizer Arizona State has, biggest apologizers the Cardinals have. He has the trophies in his house sitting there. Lead apologist for both of them. It's my man, the one, the only sports personality, believe in fact. Well, basketball, Mike Caratino. What's up, buddy?
Man, it's not apologizer. It's just the realist. It's okay, though. You can call me an apologizer. And, oh, I can answer the Patrick Mahomes part about changing the thing. It's because nobody wants to give Cincinnati's defense credit. There's your short answer to that.
And we're going to get into ASU. Mike, I'm going to tell you, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying it anymore. Black coaches were told they had to become OCs in D.C. to get jobs. They right. did that. Then they started hiring cats like Cliff Kingsbury, who had no coaching experience. They started hiring guys recycled like Adam Gates or Matt Nagy, who didn't call plays. And then you got a guy in the enemy. And now we say, well, he didn't right. call plays. We can't keep changing the narrative all the time.
It's
oh,
it's,
you're preaching to the choir.
It's bullcrap. It's bullcrap.
Well, no, you're absolutely. No, absolutely. Look, and I don't know if you and I have had this, like, full-on conversation. I mean, I always thought that the inception and the thought behind the Rooney Rule was good because qualified people, i.e. Eric Bieniemy, back then weren't getting to the table for interviews. So the positive about the Rooney Rule is it gets minority coaches to the table. And it's not like they're cutting the interview shorter. They're going through the interview. You and I both know in any, you know, part of industry, any part of your life, like that first interview, first maybe two, three interviews that you had, I had, whatever, you kind of think back like, man, I kind of sucked. Like whether you're nervous or you know, you didn't know fully what to expect. I mean, they kind of know what to expect, but getting them to the interview process was good. The fact that it was, maybe a token interview or teams feeling like they're, you know, forced to, and it comes down on the owner. So the thought behind the Rooney Rule is good. The fact that it gets you into an interview room, because you and I both know those interviews are, I mean, look, an interview that goes 15, 20 minutes feels probably like, you know, an eternity for people. Imagine sitting there for 3 hours and, you know, going through things and develop. So that part of it is good. The other part of it, I mean, so I don't want to be like, you know, like you always, like you and I kid around saying apologists, but I don't want to be, you know, an apologist for it saying, oh, it changed everything. No, it didn't, but it was a step. It's a step in the right direction. It just needs more tweaking. And qualified coaches do need to get there. And, again, you know me. I'm big on the Q word. I don't care what industry it is across anything. Like, there are qualified people here in this case that haven't been getting interviews that should be head coaches. And as we've seen, may have been, you know, outside of, you know, Marvin Lewis, who's here, who was in, you know, Cincinnati for, what, 16 seasons? And went to the playoffs but didn't win a playoff game, but – they kept bringing him back. He kept coming back. So it's you know, there's when you can only cite one or two examples, that's pretty tough. And obviously Mike Tomlin, as you know, being the other example. So, I mean, the Rooney Rule in and of itself is great because it gets minorities and people that deserve it into the interviews. But to be treated as tokens, I mean, you, me, anybody else in any, you know, walk of life, any profession don't want to be treated like that. But yeah, believe me, it's beyond frustrating when as they always say, especially in football, when the goalposts keep moving.
Yeah. And you know what, there's another issue too. And they're probably saying, thank God the NFL is going through this. There are 117 Division I-A schools. There are 3 black coaches. That's 2%. There's a problem. And what happens is a lot of times when a person steps up and says there's a problem, we make them the villain, as opposed to there's really a problem. And there is a problem. Listen,
right.
We all know that most GMs know who they want to hire. We know that.
Right.
When you move up, you have your guy. My problem is,
right,
we keep saying there needs to be more black owners and more black GMs. Well, then what you're basically saying is the only way for there to be a black coach is to have a black GM. How come they just can't be hired on their qualifications like everyone else? Don't tell me that Hugh Jackson failed and he can't get a job when we recycled Adam Gase. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know Adam Gase was a shitty coach in Miami, but he got a job in New York.
Hey, that's what working—that's what Peyton Manning can do for your career, buddy.
but it's not
a laughing matter. But it, no, you're right. No, 100%. You know me. I'm laughing at Adam Gase, and you know that. I hope your listeners don't know me that way. But like, I'm laughing at Adam Gase, not the fact that you bring up that he got recycled and got retired. I'm just saying, and you know it too. I mean, that's what working with Peyton Manning will get you.
But my point, though, is he had a chance. He had that record when he went to Chicago. Then he said,
right,
fine, we'll give him a go in Miami. But then when it didn't work there, you don't keep going to that. You don't keep going to work with Peyton Manning 3 jobs ago to still get a recycle.
Right.
You can't keep doing that. And his name is escaping me. But the gentleman that coached
in Arizona before Cliff got the job. Where is he?
Let me ask an
even crazier question. Where's Jim Caldwell? He won in Indianapolis. He got Detroit to the playoffs. They fire him for a guy that couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. But Jim Caldwell doesn't get recycled? How's that possible?
Right. No, I mean, I'm with you. And here's the thing, too, real quick. I mean, we say the NFL has a problem. Yes, it's – and my thing, again, it's not to protect that, to protect, like, NFL in and of itself, but it needs to start being stated as the owners have a problem. The owners. And I'm not calling owners – I'm not saying that they're racist or they don't believe in it. All owners and players can speak – former players, current players can speak on to it, obviously, more eloquently about owners better than I can. But the worry needs to be – NFL owners have a problem, because if you look at the NFL office, A, they can't tell them who to hire. You could try to, I guess, but that's not really how they're gonna take it. But it's the owners who aren't hiring these people. And the NFL office, if you look at, you know, when they say inclusion and diversity, and yes, I understand those are hot words, and as you know, right now, but the NFL office has people in places that have been there that are qualified, that are doing the job. It needs to start being said the owners. And I think a lot of people will back away from writing it that way or saying it that way, because they can just blanket it and say the NFL, because if you cover a team or something like that, you don't want to be basically, you know, pushed out to the wind on being able to have access to a team. And like you said, with goalposts moving and the way certain, you know, coaches are treated and this and that, like, you want to cover the NFL, so people aren't going to start saying the owners, but it should be the owners, because it's not like the commissioner's office can say, no, this is who you're hiring.
It's 100% crap. You keep giving me the same guy, but
right.
Black coaches never get recycled. Never? And they never get the same shot? Never? There comes a time where I understand there's a lawsuit. And people get caught up saying, well, you got to let the process run. Fine. In terms of the tanking, in terms of all those allegations, Stephen Ross saying what he wants to say in Miami, fine. Let that process go through. Fine. If that's where you want to give us the distraction, it's that old, watch my right hand, but don't look at my left hand.
Right.
Don't fall for that, because there's still a problem. And when there's idiots that are on air, like Mike Tannenbaum, that's saying, we got to start at the ground level and build people up to go through the OC process, we've done that. And then we have idiots like here locally, like Bruce Jacobs, that says, well, he mentioned slavery, I'm done with everything else he had to say. As long as you have that, as long as you have allies saying that type of dumb shit, nothing will ever take place. Nothing. It won't change, because it won't be forced to change. No one is saying, unqualified guys a chance. No one's saying that. What we're saying is, how can you every year tell me that that's not happening? And Mike, like I said, there are three Division 1A coaches out of 117. Mike, come on. You can't tell me. You can't tell me that ratio makes any kind of sense. It's not possible.
Right. Well, I mean, the fact that we're here out west and the Pac-12 has been – in general with his coaches a little more diverse is, I mean, it, again, it is alarming. And the other side to that too is, and again, I didn't hear Jacob say that, but it's like when, you know, Brian Flores says it's like, you know, a plantation attitude, I think it turns a lot of people in the wrong direction, because they're uncomfortable talking about it, because one side, and you and I both know this, is that people say, oh, that, you know, it's, you know, the owners and stuff, and other owners will say, you know, this is not true. You know, we're not, you know, Donald Sterling. We're not that ignorant. And people don't want to touch it because it's uncomfortable. And I think it's unfair to a lot of people because they do want to touch it and say, no, we understand what happened. We understand it was wrong. This is not the same. You know, they don't feel it's the same thing. If you want to attack it that way, then fine. But when that gets put out there, I mean, again, it's definitely, as it should be, a red flag to the people. But for Brian, I just got to say, for Brian Flores going forward with this, good for him. You know, if it is true about the tanking and, you know, what Hugh Jackson said, and he's obviously a Grambling State now, but if it is true about, you know, what was in his contract, is it documented? I mean, it's just that these teams should lose ownership. And, you know, when people say owners and there aren't enough minority owners, look, I'm not, and there isn't, but the other side to that is, in this day and age, it's ownership groups now, because the Broncos are, I was talking about this yesterday, the Broncos are for sale and they're going to sell for over $4 billion. So it's got to be ownership groups. There's no one person. I mean, unless somebody like, you know, Jeff Bezos wanted to buy it, it's got to be ownership groups, but you hope you get more diversity in those ownership groups, because it's not going to be like when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys. I mean, the late 80s, like, that was pretty much the last time a single person that hadn't owned something bought something because of the evaluation of these teams. So it's going to be ownership groups, and you would hope that they would expand, and you would have, obviously, more diverse ownership groups. But you're right. It's not that it should take that. It's just you can't just say, okay, now we're just giving whoever the money to buy a franchise. Like, I get that. I mean, everybody understands that. But, yes, you would hope they would expand to more diverse ownership groups. But it's going to have to be an ownership group, because I was going to ask you if you wanted to get in. I figure if we got about, you know, 100,000 of our best friends in, we could purchase some Broncos.
Well, I will say this. Even in an ownership group, even when there's a group, there's a person. There's a person it always rolls up to. There's still a final voice person. The Suns are owned by an ownership group, but Sarver is still the lead guy. There's still a lead guy. And, yeah, you know who gets uncomfortable? Here's I'll take this back, and then we'll get in the ASU. And on the line with me is one only Mike Caratino. I'm glad Bruce Jacobs is uncomfortable, because you know what? I get tired of hearing people say, the person that's getting punched in the face has to make the puncher feel comfortable before they'll have the conversation. So I'm glad his dumbass is uncomfortable. I'm glad, because you're telling, again, the person that it's affecting, I need to say this in a way that makes you feel good so you can hear what my complaint is. That's stupid.
Right.
Let me think of a way I can say this. I wasn't saying he's uncomfortable.
I'm just saying people in general get uncomfortable. And when you throw that in, I think if that's thrown into an argument, they feel like, okay, you're going all the way back. Like, we have advanced from them, but yet at the same time, in certain avenues, it doesn't feel exactly the same, whether it's this, you know, obviously, like, you know, women's sports, justice, anything. So, yeah, no, I'm not saying he was uncomfortable. I'm saying people in general will stay away from it and won't say how they feel, because they don't want to be lumped in with somebody that has a very, you know, archaic, negative way of thinking.
If you don't want to be lumped in, then do something. If not you, but if someone doesn't want to be uncomfortable,
right,
do something about it. Then do something about it.
Right.
Like I said, it's like when women complain, when women say stuff, and we say, oh, well, what do rich people do when women complain about them? They spend money that the person, that the victim can't spend, to then put them on trial. That's not fair. You can't keep doing that.
Right.
You can't keep expecting the person that's being victimized to be the person that makes the change. That's the stupidest thing in the world. And that's what we're constantly asking people
right.
to do. Well, black coaches, what can you do to improve while you don't get hired? What? Well, let's see. I've been coaching, and then I'm the OC of the KC Chiefs. You didn't call the plays. We're not going to hire you. Matt Nagy. Well, that's different. He's a quarterback whisperer. Oh, okay. I love the way he whispered in the quarterbacks with the Bears' ears. I just think it's a joke. But anyway,
right.
let's change topics. because I'm not done with this. I'm going to follow this case all throughout because I love what Stephen Ross is doing. Look at my right hand. I never told him to take games. Look at my right hand. Look at my right hand. Just don't look at my left. And that's exactly what they're doing. ASU, football, issues. Antonio Pierce is gone. This doesn't look good. Does not look good for them. They're going to get slapped hard.
Well, I mean, with all the coaches being gone, I think maybe behind the scenes, the one thing that would say to me is that a lot of this is, again, I'm not saying self, you know, they're taking self-discipline and, you know, dealing with it. But, I mean, nobody, again, and I never said it couldn't come to this point. I just said let everything through the investigation, which to me is taking, I'm not saying it should take 5 minutes, Paul, you know that. But, I mean, this is taking entirely way too long to get something down. I mean, it's, you know, the coaches have resigned. He stayed through, obviously, signing day yesterday. And I know, you know, according to all the rankings, ASU has the worst in the Pac-12 and I guess like the second worst overall FBS schools. But yeah, no, I mean, again, and I said from the beginning, no, it doesn't look good. If they are guilty, then yes, there are punishments that are down. But I'm, you know, I saw a headline today and I just cracked up because it was, it was laughable and I didn't read it all. So I don't want to fully mention it, but yeah, there's some headlines that, you know, I'm baffled by it. But no, for Antonio Pierce, again, it's, you know, people said, oh, he came in and, you know, shook it up and said, hey, you know, they figured they had a cheat to catch up in these other schools. And again, when everything finally comes out and we know what the basis is, like the basis is obviously what happened during COVID shutdowns and, you know, illegally having kids come out and stuff like that during the dead period. Like I said, I've said it from the beginning. I've said it on your show. Yes, if it is true, these coaches are now gone. They've been found guilty. There are penalties. I'm all for it. But I definitely just want to see who else is raising their hands to be like, oh, well, they're the only ones that did it. So, again, it's not to shine light, like you said, look at my right hand, look at my right hand, not my left. They did something wrong, and it needs to be dealt with. But, I mean, with as long as it's taken, just it should be wrapped up now. Like, this investigation should be wrapped up. To me, that's the frustrating part. On top of, yes, something wrong was done. You didn't need to do it. But it's you know, but I mean, Antonio Pierce, look, he'll land a job in the NFL. I'm sure he will. The defense did get better under him. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, discount everything and not saying that none of these guys would have came over. I mean, the defense definitely got better under him, and obviously with Marvin Lewis still around and bringing in, like, Brian Billick now is very interesting. So I don't want, you know, look, we'll see what the findings come out. I definitely don't want Herm gone. I want to, you know, move forward from this in a good way and keep marching forward and, you know, keep building it back up and keep going. But I just – it does suck that it came to that and – that we had to lose these coaches, but again, they did something wrong, and you know me, like I'm all for waiting until, you know, due process works itself out, but it is a black mark. It's not, you know, it's a lot frustrating, I know, for fans, but at the same time, it's unfortunately a necessary necessity, and you figure he would be gone. And I just, again, for the people that think that Herm should be gone, I completely don't agree with that. But, again, and we're, you know, nothing's been out there to say that's going to happen. But it's just, again, it is a little black mark for the program, but you gotta move forward from it.
Here's my question. On the case of PLR, the one only Mike Caratino believe in Pac-12. Basketball and really check my man out. He's a lot of good. Does Herm, if you're ASU, do you let Herm go for this reason with the recruiting, or do you say, hey, Herm has to stay because we're not going to bring in another coach to clean this mess up considering he made the mess. Let's see if he can clean it up first before we move on. is which one is the right way to go.
Yeah. You know, I think it is about him, you know, cleaning it up. I'm not saying he doesn't have any responsibility, and I'm not going to say that he didn't know what was going on, again, because that would come to a head coach not knowing, and the whole, you know, coaches have been fired for, you know, lack of institutional control, as the NCAA likes to say. So, no. But, I mean, I think that they should keep him. He should work towards, yes, cleaning it up, and it needs to get better because, you know, you brought guys in. You had a pro model. You had guys here at the time when you first came in that definitely helped recruiting. And, you know, it's not like they haven't been competitive on the field and with what he does as a coach and how he interacts with them as young men and just beyond the football field. So, no, I mean, look, a recruiting violation is bad. And to this extent, obviously, it's very bad, you know, bringing kids in and when you shouldn't. I completely get it, but I think, no, he should definitely be a part of going forward. And, of course, now they're going to have, like, a microscope on them recruiting anyway. So, I mean, that helps, obviously, the cleanup process or in that aspect. So, no, I think keeping him is the right thing to do. And, you know, when he can address all of it, I know Herm will address it. And you go from there. But I just it's frustrating. And like I said, there's a lot more out there that the NCAA needs to fix too.
So does that mean, yes, you would keep him to clean it up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I keep him to clean it up because, you know, you bring okay. If you bring someone else in to do it, yeah.
Okay, so
I mean, other schools have gotten violations, Paul, and they haven't kowtowed to the NCAA with coaches. I mean, look at himself and Calipari.
I'm with you. Here's my question, though. The negative recruiting. So when guys are going to living rooms to recruit kids, if they know that kid is thinking about ASU, you know they're looking at them saying, you know the coach won't be there after this year. You know a lot of coaches got fired. Why go there to only put yourself in the transfer portal to end up here anyway? Why do that to yourself? So they're being negatively recruited. And I say that, and I'll tell you why. And first, before I even say this, you're right. It's amazing that there are three Division I black coaches and two of them in the Pac-12. That's funny. But anyway, ASU is ranked number 105 out of 117 by 247 Sports in recruiting. Mike, you and I know if you're ranked number 105, you can't look at recruiting in a vacuum and say this year. You have to look and say, how will these kids develop in 2 to 3 years? If you're number 105 nationally, you're behind every eight ball you could think of. How is it going to turn around when you're 105 out of 117?
Right. And you're right. The negative recruiting, and I know, again, and people show different things all the time. I know you can get a survey to show whatever you want, depending how you ask the questions. But overall, like with negative recruiting, I mean, parents and athletes, a lot of like high school athletes, you know, I'll talk to them. And it's just weird because, you know, in the beginning when I was covering it, and, you know, ask too much or, you know, I didn't focus too much or I hear a little bit on it, but they're really, you know, not saying that things aren't mentioned, but they're really turned off by negative recruiting because if they feel that a coach or coaches have to go to that about another program that, you know, they're just not turned on to the whole negative recruiting. Now, is it still said? Are people will do it? Absolutely. So to me, that's the line they have to walk in. You're right. I mean, it's ASU's going to have to answer questions. You want to get, you know, in with these athletes and stuff like that. And believe me, with NIL and transfer portal, it changed anyway. So I think, you know, if this happens like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, oh, yeah, I mean, I could tell you, I would 100% wholeheartedly say to you for the next 5 years, ASU's recruiting will be terrible. But now with, again, the transfer portal and NIL, again, it's a black mark. You shouldn't do it. And, you know, people always assume, and I, you know, you and me always go back and forth about, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC saying, oh, whatever, they've been doing it forever, this and that, yada, 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 you know, in annoyance and in jest. But when it comes down to it, though, I mean, with the way the landscape of college football is now, I don't think negative recruiting helps. But ASU's still going to have to answer for it. It's not like the parents aren't going to sit there and ask these questions, too. So, I mean, yeah, right. you have to fess up to it and move forward.
Here's my last question about ASU football before we switch to hoops. When you're going into this season, and I know ASU had a model, and they brought in they brought in Pierce, they brought in obviously Herm, and they brought in a lot of NFL guys. They just did it again. Is the model truly working? And I know I give you a hard time, and I say the Las Vegas Bowl is the ASU Invitational. I know I give a hard time when I say all that. But when I look back at the record, and I'm going by the record only, and I look at the last three coaches that ASU's had, and this is coming from someone who really likes Herm. I'm on the Herm wagon, so I don't want there to be any type of, oh, well, he just doesn't. I really do like Herm, and I really did like the way the program was designed to work. But when I just look at the record, it's not telling me there's any difference. Is there a difference?
I mean, my short answer is yes, because of pushing. And again, not that Todd Graham didn't, because Todd Graham got that rolling. I mean, players graduating, graduating in 3 years, some finishing in four, but the graduation rates going up and, getting a guy's look at the next level. I think that you've seen in spring when they've had spring practices before COVID on the pro day. I mean, the scouts that were out here, yeah, I mean, a lot of them know Herm, but just even at practice in general, we could go to practices, seeing the scouts out there his first year and, first and second year and seeing from that. So I think guys have gotten attention. And, yes, you would like it to translate to more wins. You and I agree on that, and I get that. But so, I mean, I do think it's working because I think around there guys are, coming in early. And, I mean, players do it all over the country, but coming early for spring ball, they get that first semester of college going and started and then kind of, fast forwarding their graduation track and stuff like that. So he talked about getting him, graduated from the beginning, but also having taken that next step to the NFL. So I think staff wise, yes, having AP here help hiring Herm as a head coach helps that. And yeah, I mean, I think next year though, and again, now with all this, it's kind of like, well, let's see how these guys perform on the field. But for the guys that are still here, which are quite a bit, and the guys that are working now, I think they're definitely going to have an extra chip on the shoulder because they're going to want to go to bat for Herm and for the program. But I do think, yes, it works, and I think that they're not the only program in the country that has that. But it's just I like the basis of it. Players are graduating. This is a setback, and, yeah, I mean, it does suck. They did it. Deal with it. Move forward.
Okay. I want to switch to ASU hoops.
Okay.
They're struggling. There's no secret about it. But I want to take this bigger picture than just this year. I know ASU's been hit with COVID. I do. And I think there's a lot of things you can hang on COVID for them having a season last year and this year. But, Mike, when I look at the landscape of college basketball, and I'm not just talking about what ASU is or isn't doing, but when I see Davidson being competitive, and I see Seton Hall being competitive, and I see Wyoming and Toledo and Murray State, something in me says, whoa, pump the brakes here. How is this school where it is? With the power of the Pac-12, with the name of Bobby Hurley, with the campus they have, with all the amenities they have, how are you not better than a Murray State, than a Davidson, than a Wyoming, than a Toledo? How is that possible? And what can be done?
Well,
I guess to make our program as good as a Murray State, as good as a Davidson. And I shouldn't be comparing ASU to Murray State.
Well, no, you're right. You shouldn't. But, I mean, come on. Also think of the conferences, too. And they're the conference that those teams are in. And, again, yes, there are players, and yes, those are schools that a lot of times they don't have, you know, one and dones, and they're recruiting guys that come in and stay for 3 and 4 years, and they build up that chemistry, and you're right. But ASU should be able to, you know, have a balance of one and dones and guys that stay longer and be competitive. And, I mean, come on, up until this season, I mean, it was, what, 421 seasons for Coach Hurley, 321 seasons for – what I mean, would have been four tournaments had COVID not shut the tournament down that year. But, no, you're right. I mean, and look, and to focus on this season, yes, they've been hit. Yes, they've struggled. Yes, Bagley's not back yet. And it's kind of, you know, Horn's getting in, well, now that they're knock on wood over COVID and getting into, you know, regular practice and, you know, playing games, starting tonight with USC at 9 o'clock. Cheap plug, I'll be there. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it does come to recruiting. And, of course, now, like we always say to you in football, I mean, the transfer portal and recruiting. I mean, Bobby brought quite a few players on the transfer portal. And Horn's starting to get more comfortable. And you can see that, obviously, with the shots. I mean, Kamani Lawrence is Kamani Lawrence. I mean, he's improved in every year.
He should have been there 8 years.
Settle down. See, this is a problem. People always say, see, that's a problem. Somebody stays more than 2 years. You're just comparing them to other conferences where guys stay 3 and 4 years because they have to.
My point is, he should improve. He's been there all
right, that's fine, but he hasn't. But he has improved in the way he plays down low and the way Jalen Graham is, too. You would think their record should be better. But, again, getting off COVID that first half, I mean, the first half against Arizona down in Tucson, I mean, people say, oh, Arizona shot bad. Quite a few of those were contested. Yeah, there were a few open ones Arizona missed. I watched the game twice.
They played well.
But here's the thing. You need to build off that. Look, I will say this now. Start with USC tonight and then UCLA and then Arizona. Like, this is the first time a Pac-12 team has played five ranked teams in a row. So – if there's ever a time to go on a winning streak, this would be phenomenal for the Sun Devils to get morale and obviously, well, morale boosted, but confidence way boosted. But I think as you see, as they get back in off of COVID, and even last year after they got back in off the COVID break, that once he has his teams playing more and getting into rhythm and practice and playing games, that the improvement is there and that we know the record can be there. I mean, they're definitely behind the eight ball now. And, yeah, I need to see, you know, Marion Jackson a little bit more. Jay Heath, you know, step up a little bit more. I think Luther Muhammad, I know his shooting percentage is low, but, Paul, it drives me crazy because there's been two or three games that I've seen that he hits, like, two shots, and then they don't feed him the ball back. And I'm not saying they don't run the offense. I'm not saying force it to him, but they don't feed him the ball when he starts to get into a rhythm. And I'm like, give Luther Muhammad the ball. Like, that frustrates me a little bit. And it's –
here's my thing, Mike, and I love it because you always break it down to the players in the game. But I'm not. I guess I'm asking big picture. When I look at team,
well, yeah.
You know, and we talk transfer portal, but when you have four regulars leave, what's going on with the program?
Right.
And that's my question, because we can break down individual players, individual games. That's great, but
right.
I'm talking.
Well, but I think I don't know if it's so much the program though. I don't know if it's so much the program in and of itself. It's Bobby, because I mean, Paul, you could ask that about a lot of programs. I mean, there's what, over seven. I think across all sports, there was like 800 players in the transfer portal or whatever it was.
Oh,
I mean, it was insane.
But look at the programs. Kentucky's not having that issue where their four top players are transferring. The school in Tucson isn't having their four top players transfer. I'm not saying guys are upset they're not getting caught. Their four top players all left. All of them.
Right.
There could be there could be 9,000 people in the transfer portal. But I'm talking big picture. They're losing starters. They're not losing pissed off guys. They're not losing, and I know we're talking hoops, but they're not losing second-string quarterbacks that think they should be playing. I'm not talking that.
Right.
I'm talking.
No, I know, but I think a lot of programs
to
have.
To GCU.
And, right, but, I mean, Tayshaun Cherry also had his – well, I mean, okay. I mean, definitely at GCU, and I don't understand. You know, Holland Woods, obviously, he sacrificed, like Bobby has said a million times, like parts of, you know, his gaming coming here last year and the way he played. I would think you won't want to keep Holland Woods with that group. But
see, that's,
I mean,
that's
for Tayshaun Cherry, I mean, there were some disciplinary issues there, I mean, with Tayshaun.
I got that. But I'm not talking just him. I'm just saying you're losing the guys that helped you win. You're not losing the guys that are disgruntled. You're losing guys that help
right,
you win.
Right, but you're also bringing in guys. You're bringing in guys that have won where they are. So I think this is the issue with the transfer portal. If you're unhappy with players and they sense it, and again, I'm not saying that, you know, a coach is ignoring them. They're not having conversations. Obviously, they're in the facility and everything that goes with it, practicing and film and all that stuff. But if you're not happy with the situation, the transfer portal is the way out. And I'm not saying that maybe it's something with Bobby and his staff, the way it's going. I'm not saying that you don't have a point, that it's something that should be looked at, but I just think a lot of programs are now teetering because if they see a guy entering the transfer portal and, you know, you're like, wow, this guy can really, you know, he's done this. He's more of what I'm looking for. And yeah, I recruited him earlier and, you know, he went elsewhere and I have a chance to bring him here. Like, again, it makes coaches look wishy-washy. I'm not saying they are, but that's, to me, when you ask that question, that's another angle that I see it from, because you're seeing who else is in the transfer portal as well. So if a guy does go, then yeah, when you're, you know, if you feel a top player of yours is going, well, now you have to get a top player in. So it's just that whole, do you want to develop a high school kid and hopefully keep him for three, you know, is he a one and done? Is he that type? Or, you know, now with the G League doing what they're doing. So a lot of angles have changed, but I think coaching, they do have to be more innovative. And for your question to Bobby and his staff, like, you know, more upfront and innovative, but the transfer portal is always definitely now going forward going to shake things up.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Quick answer. Who gets their job longer, Bobby or Herm?
Oh, man, you are such a jerk. I love you. Oh, man.
I'm asking.
I mean, I don't want either one of them gone. So
me either. I'm
all right. I'll say Bobby, just because he's younger. Just because I think Herm's got two years left now. So when next season starts, he'll have 2 years left. So I think Bobby is there longer, because I think Herm, when he's up, I think he's just done and going to chill with his family.
Okay, so let me ask this question. Is it fair that either one of them or both of them are on a hot seat?
No. I mean, I don't think it's fair, but like I said to you before, I think every coach that is worth their weight in water, I mean – you always feel you're on a hot seat. Like I said, it's not eggshells. So you should always feel like you're on a hot seat, because you know it comes down to winning. But you're not going to over-concern. I mean, you're concerned about winning, yes, but you're going to teach. You're going to improve your team. You're going to improve your coaches, and you're going to go from there. But, no, I mean, I just think that everybody wants to overreact in this NCAA investigation. And, I mean, look, there's a lot of schools that have had big NCAA investigations and outside the basketball FBI thing, which I mentioned before, that haven't got rid of coaches. So –
Let it
go forward. Let it play out.
On a lighter note, before I let you go, how impressed are you with the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, man. I mean, Monty Williams, look, I'm happy he's an all-star coach. I mean, this whole thing where, you know, fans get 50% of the vote. And, yes, I think the team with – I've always said it. The team with the best record in the league, it's very odd that they don't have a starter and they get 50% of popularity contest. But, look, man, they're deep. James Jones and Monty Williams were great together. You know, DeAndre Ayton getting back on the court the other night looked good. And, you know, they beat the Nets. And, of course, they had Kyrie and Harden. So, I mean, two out of the three. And, yes, if KD's there, it's different. But they're deep. They're playing defense. Chris Paul with campaign out can play a few more minutes and still dominate the league. You know, Shamit, Wainwright, I mean, I look forward to getting Kaminsky back. Hopefully he can get back, because he was given good minutes down low and, I mean, getting some buckets too. They are just so deep and on a mission and so complete. Like Devin Booker said the other night, I mean, Paul, you know me. I love to talk. I'm running out of adjectives to describe this team, but they are the best team in the NBA. I know Milwaukee fans will say their chance, and, you know, they're playing better in the way Philly's playing now, and, you know, even in the West, obviously, with Golden State and, you know, Dallas. But, they're the best team in the NBA right now. They're deep, and as long as they just keep focused and playing, we could be headed through a phenomenal seven-game series with the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals is all I got to say.
I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to ask you something I've never asked you before. I'm going to ask you a closed-ended question. So yes or no, should the Suns
okay.
stay pat with the roster they have, or do you think there's a trade out there that they need to make to get better?
No. You stay pat, man. I mean – Yeah, everybody's chasing you, so they don't need to be reactive to a trade, so stay pat. Sorry.
I'm with you.
So, yes, stay pat.
You hit record this week, right?
Yes, I hit record yesterday. So we're good. You know, I swear, I'm gonna have your ASU fandom put on probation for a season. It's gonna be revolt, man. I hit record yesterday. We're all good. I know.
So tell everybody.
Tell
everybody where they can check you out and listen to the show.
Yeah. Well, obviously on Twitter at Diablo00. Believe in Pac-12 Hoops Fridays on the Believe Network. Also Mondays and Wednesdays on the Sports Arena, 8 o'clock. Arizona time, 10 o'clock Eastern, though. Yeah, and hanging out with this guy and, you know, trying to he spreads the truth, but, you know, he's got to not rip on ASU so much, because I can always fire back with programs that are just as that are worse off, and we have to go there. But you're the man. You're the best, man.
You remember, that's my school, too. All I try to do is tell the truth. That's all I try to do. I want them to win. I want them to win every game. It hurts me when they lose, especially when they lose to that team in Tucson. So I'm with you. What's your Twitter handle and IG?
Yeah, at Diablo00, and then Michael Curtis-Nudo77 on Instagram. And, yeah, man, let's hang out. Let's have some fun. And go Devils tonight against those terrible Trojans.
Yeah, and don't forget the ladies play this weekend. And as usual, Charlie is always doing a great job, man. Always doing a great job. So I know I tell the truth. I like to say I tell the truth a lot because I believe I do. But she always finds a way when the season is starting to wrap up. So you can't jump on me too much because I'm giving my kudos to them. I love the way that program works. She had a lot of young kids last year. Did a magnificent job coaching their young players. So big kudos to them as well, too. But, yo, my man, I appreciate you. And I'm glad you hopped on after I lit into James Harden. Otherwise, I would have gave you another 5 minutes to give me a hard time for hating the Sun Devils. But we will catch up, bro. I appreciate it. I actually scheduled us longer today because there was a lot of stuff I wanted to get into with you. So appreciate you hanging out with me. My man, 100%. You know it because there's only one person that gets this type of love, and that's the one and only Mike Carotenuto. All right, buddy. We'll catch up, man.
You're the best.
Very much.
All right, I'll see you, buddy. Yep, later.
All right, buddy. Take care. That's my guy, 100 grand, Mike Carotenuto. Believe in Pac-12 basketball. There's a trade I told you guys I wanted to tell you about. We'll do that in a second. Let you know this last segment was brought to you by a scout and seller consultant, Tina Calhoun. Are you tired of wines with additives, sugars, preservatives, all that unnecessary stuff? Get with her. She will do a wine tasting, I should say, for you. Get wine without sugars, without additives, without preservatives. Just give her a call, 602-410-4821, scout and sellers. Tina Calhoun. Tonight at Maduro's, it's ladies' night. Get down here. Check it out. It is a great time. A lot of events going on, a lot of specials, cigar specials. They serve beer and wine, so get yourself down here. Ladies night tonight from 5 till 8. The trade I was talking about, pull the trigger already. Send James Harden to Philly for Ben Simmons. It's what both teams need. Brooklyn needs someone to organize their offense and a better defender. Philly needs scoring and someone to complement their style of play and can score. I think that is a trade that needs to be made sooner rather than later. It's something that just has to be done. Philly looks like imbeciles every game that Ben Simmons isn't playing, or every day they don't go ahead and make a trade happen. They look like imbeciles, especially Daryl Morey. Sometimes in life, you can be so smart that you're an idiot. And right now, I just believe Philly is trying to trade you your steak dinner for some government cheese and some powdered milk. They're not going to get what they're looking for. If they can match a star for a star, both teams need to make that move. James has already expressed that he's not feeling the way Kyrie is playing part-time. He's not feeling the continuity of the team. Sixers need to get off Ben, make the trade. In fact, I thought Morey could get Harden before he left Houston, and he couldn't pull that trigger. Maybe he can redeem himself. When you come into Maduro's, make sure you get with Ron Harden, the owner, or Tina Calhoun, or someone on the staff here. Don't just go in that humidor and start picking cigars. Pick one that fits your palate. You should enjoy it, not say, oh, my God, what did I just do? Come down and they take the time. They help you. The atmosphere is great. So get your butt down here to Maduro's, Fine Cigar and Tobacco. I thank them for hosting me every Thursday as we've done this show here for the last 9 years. Good Lord, time gets away from me. Actually, I'm wrong again, 10 years. So get on down here and definitely check them out. Listen, we scheduled the show later today to run over because we knew we had so many topics to talk about. Also, I want to tell you guys, if you're really into the NBA and really into the Sun, definitely check out Sun Solar Panel. My guy Dave King and Zona do a great job. I was on last week with them. I've been on probably about once a month, sometimes twice a month for a while. Definitely a great show, very informative. If you are a Suns fan, definitely the show for you to listen to. If you're not, become one. Hop on the bandwagon. Do it now, because in 5 years, I don't want to hear, oh, man, I really remember when I was really into the Suns with Booker and Chris Paul. Make it a reality. Everyone, thanks for calling. Thank you, guests, for calling in. Appreciate the time. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. All next week, we're talking Super Bowl. We're talking the athletes that played, won, or lost. Either way, we're going to have a lot of Super Bowl talk, a lot of cool Super Bowl stories. So make sure that you're tuned in. Everyone, thank you for joining me. Make sure you're checking us out every day, 1 o'clock live. Just go to sportscave.com, hit the Listen Live button, and there we are. That is our website. Please make sure you're following. It's always with K. You also can get us on Instagram, Facebook, and the Twitter at Sports Cave. Cave's with K. You get me directly on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until the next time, appreciate you hanging with me. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. Temps, bring us home.